Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Tim Sheaf / the Ethics Podcast, which was formerly the Ethics and Antics Podcast, then began the Tim Sheaf Podcast. And now we're deciding what direction to go with it. But what's important is not the name of it, but the conversations that we're having and that you guys are here to join us for. Today, I'm in Birmingham. I took the hour-long drive down the A38 from my house to visit a good friend who you might have seen in many videos. It's Brett.
How's it going, guys?
Also known as EpiVegan. We first met, just to tell them that story,
yeah.
I was with Ben, and I always like these stories of how friendships begin, because they always seem important looking back. But we were with Ben, and someone was telling us, maybe it was, do you know Tommy and Kane? Did you know them before?
Yeah, I knew Tommy and Kane before, yeah.
And they were saying, oh, this guy, Brett, he calls himself EpiVegan on Instagram. He's our friend. He's been vegan for a year, and he wants to cook for you guys. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. When can we find time to do it? Whatever. It didn't happen for a few months, maybe.
You were away for a little bit.
Yeah.
We spoke a bit online as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I liked about it is that when we then did meet, was it the Bristol or the Brighton one?
It was Brighton, wasn't it? Yeah.
I thought we just like hugged and we were just brothers, you know what I mean?
I could tell from your vibes, from seeing the video you did with Benj as well. So Benj, I was away at the time. Maybe I think I just went raw in Hawaii and I was looking back in videos of Ben eating pizza. You cooked a Mexican pizza for them.
Yeah.
And they said how good it was. That's really cool. And then I came back and we met in Brighton, and then me and Ben both came to eat and we were raw. You didn't cook for us, but you prepared.
Stuffed peppers.
That was really, I remember that actually. I was right here banging those peppers, cheese all over my nose, raw cheese. That was really good actually. So that's the story of me and Brett. And you make YouTube videos like that where you go on, what do you do?
I basically interview compassionate, interesting people. So anyone I think has got an interesting story, or maybe the recent interview I did with Sarah Jane Crawford, she's bringing out an app called Viappy, and it's kind of, it's similar to other apps like Happy Cow and things like that.
Yeah.
But instead of just being restaurant finders, it's also got recipes on. So it's kind of a go out or stay home, we've got you covered either way kind of a vibe, cool, and I like that.
Yeah.
So I made a dish off her app, which was nice. But that's kind of the vibe to it. I just interview people I like.
It's never about how much following they've got, it's just about people you find interesting, which I really admire that. You're not trying to collab and jump off of people's coattails. You're genuinely like, you'll interview people with like less than 1,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, the business mind is like, what are you doing that for? But I override that. And, you know, they've obviously got an interesting story, and all these people have. And it's some of the people you've interviewed. You can name a few. Kyle, the vegan rapper.
Carlo Sol, obviously he's got.
And you said he's got one of the most views out of all your videos.
He's still got the most views. Yeah. He's got a really good view count on that. And he's got a really good engagement. People leave a lot of comments. He can be a bit of a Marmite guy, so he can get a lot of hate from within the vegan community as
You know, he's the guy that did the vegan rat ways driving
in the van,
British guy with top knot. And then you've got people with over millions of followers like Lucy Watson.
Yeah, Lucy Watson and her sister Tiffany, both on like Made in Chelsea. They're quite entrepreneurial, quite inspirational women. They've got their own like businesses and things like that. And then people like Jameeta Samara, who's a stunt woman, been on James Bond, Game of Thrones, then like Chase Armitage, really inspirational guy, really, you know, very zen, very like, you know, peaceful guy and stuff, really appreciative of everything around him, really.
Yeah.
And it always makes, I just find it makes for an interesting conversation. But like you were saying about people's following and stuff, I think of it as similar to other podcasts that I see where people have, like podcasts I see where people have people on to interview. And then later down the line, when they've done something like released a movie or a special or whatever, they have them on again. It's like a callback. Remember last time we had such and such on it? I want to build that with the people around me. So it doesn't matter what someone's following is like now. If I find someone inspirational, they're just going to keep growing as a person.
That's a really good way to look at it. Yeah.
And then hopefully in the future, I can have them on again and say,
they'll look remember at what you achieved from the start. Yeah. And where they've gone. Yeah, you can.
I really want to get Felix on.
Felix Price. Yeah. We can make that happen.
Yeah.
Someone commented the other day and said, you're going to have more Felix Price on this stuff because he is such a good energy to have on, but he's in Thailand at the moment. He may have done the smart move, we're not so sure, of going away for winter. Because right now it is middle of December, it snowed. Did it snow on Wednesday for you here as well?
Yeah,
when it snowed
for you?
And it snowed a few days before that really hard and you were snowed in. You didn't go to work that day? Or?
No, I didn't go to work that day.
Okay,
no.
So you got a snow day. So yeah. This is middle of December, it's not even winter yet. Technically, winter comes in a week's time. And we're just battling through the winter. I recently made a video where I talked about my diet. And I want to come back to you and talk about you, how you can be. But I call it this, what I'm on right now, I call it the slowing diet. So I call it the opposite, it's basically the opposite of fasting. So I eat anything and everything that I want without any guilt. And just to see how that affects my body, because in the past I would have eaten this stuff. And when you get into health foods, you start to neglect and reject bread and pastas and things like that. Because you start to learn, you start to learn the optimum things. And when you get sensitive, sometimes you can eat bread and actually feel it affect you. And then you're never sure if it's affecting you just because you read that it's bad for you. And then you're eating it with that in your mind as you're eating it. It's so multi-layered, this whole thing. The world, existence in life and earth is that way. So I'm fascinated in that stuff. And I like to go on empirical data, which is what you've experienced rather than anything that you read in a book. I just use books as guidelines, give me ideas, and then I try things. So trying to eat this, and someone actually commented on that, said that sounds very similar to a book called Intuitive Eating. And basically the story is, you eat whatever you want, when you want, as you feel, without any guilt, and eventually, and this is what I feel I'm headed, you just stop eating the stuff that's bad for you. Because it's the guilt that sort of, it keeps you hooked. You know, G is like a hook shape, you know, it's like it keeps you hooked onto those bad habits, and it's that self-defeated, what's it called?
Self-sabotage,
sorry, yeah. And I think we all have an element of that, and I think we're raised in this sort of culture where it's in our subconscious somewhere, and it's like, I know where I could be and the person that I could be if I ate the right way, but I'm just not there yet, I've got these things to deal with in my life, you know.
I like that because our culture is very much set up where if you turn to me and say, you know, I'm going completely straight edge, I'm going completely sober, no drinks, no drugs, no nothing. Everyone will turn around to you and say, you need advice though, don't you? Like, you need to be naughty occasionally.
Yeah.
Or and whether it's food and you're going raw, it's like, yeah, but like, you never just fancy pizza. And it's like, people always, not put a barrier up against you, but they just judge you by what they feel is realistic or like what they feel like an average human does.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that guilt element that puts in your mind again, well, yeah, it's a little bit naughty and maybe I have got to be naughty occasionally. Yeah. So it's like treats all the time.
Treats with food, and that's very much put in our society. Interesting on that though, Alan Watts, who's one of my favourite spiritual entertainers, as he called himself growing up, said that every human needs a vice, otherwise we're a robot, right? But your vice could be cashew nuts. Like it's, you know, it could be, and he was a drinker. He just said, he died of alcoholism, but said, I like who I am better when I'm drunk. And you can't really argue with the man, but I do completely agree with that note of the society we're in where everyone would want you to have some like smoking or drinking or burgers or pizzas, like you say. And that's the beauty of, I really think with ethics, we're building a family and a unity and a world which is supportive of the better decisions we make. And, you know, and I think it's good that we can then have people around us that are pro that. And also at the same time, learning that alcohol or cigarettes or other vices aren't actually bad, it's the habit that's bad, and it's relying on them every time, and that if you can have control over that and learning to balance them, and there are things to learn from all these different physical altering, mind altering, spiritual altering substances, there are things to be taken from them, but it's not over and abusing those things.
And it's interesting what you said about intuitive eating, because it's okay to do that and it's a freeing thing, but it's about the actual intuition of it. So actually listen to your body and doing like a feedback loop. So saying, not just going out and saying, well, I'm intuitive eating, I can just eat till I'm full, I can eat whatever I want. But if you're not thinking, and you're not thinking, okay, how does my body feel right now? I feel a little bit bloated. mm. I'm not going to eat bread, I'm not going to eat pasta, because I feel bloated, because I'm like intuitive about the way I'm eating.
Yeah.
Like, I actually feel like I need greens in my, you know what I mean? It's the actual feedback loop, and it's because some people will take that as, oh, you're just saying you can eat whatever you want when you want. Well, I'm just going to eat pizza and ice cream all the time. Yeah. But it's like, if you're actually intuitive about the way you're doing it, you're listening to your body.
Yeah. And that has to come as a later stage to just do it. And it, like I say, it is multi-layered. You couldn't just eat pizza and be healthy. But I think if you ate pizza compared to the person who eats pizza and feel guilty, you could take twins and do that experiment maybe. I don't know, something like that.
Mm.
You feel bad every time you do it. Like, before you eat bread, read a book on how bad gluten is. And the other guy, you do it with no guilt. You know, that would be interesting to do. But it is multi-layered and isn't just as black and white as like what you eat affects your body, because there's so much more is an intention. And that's what we're learning as we grow in this universe, is like, law of attraction, and those little rules start to come into play, and it's how, you know, that they're really detailed and fine lines of each of it. But to go back to Brett, as we've got you on here, I'd like to hear your story towards veganism. How long have you been vegan for, and what got you thinking that way?
So I think I'll be vegan about 2 years in March. And the actual reason I started looking into veganism was...
So you're a Pisces vegan.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So I started speaking to someone that I work with. I don't actually work with them anymore, but we were chatting at the time, and he watched a documentary where they did tests on twins, and they did blood tests on them.
Mm.
And he said, what was interesting is the vegans were the healthiest. And I said, no, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, they said they tested the vegans, blah, blah, they were the healthiest out of the lot. And I said, surely they'd be deficient in something, or surely, like, that was where my mind was at the time. So I like Googled it, blah, blah, blah. I was like, benefits of a vegan diet. I was like looking a little bit, and it was like all coming up good. And I was like, okay. And then I put reasons to go vegan. And the first video that came up is 101 Reasons to Go Vegan, where he does, it's a really interesting video if you guys want to watch it, but he does like the Rorschach test for people. He talks about, if you went outside and you saw someone hitting a dog with a baseball bat, how would you feel? And everyone's kind of like, I'd either hit the person or I'd call the police or whatever. And then it's like, what if you went outside and it's a pig? It's like, it's the same feeling. We all know it's the same feeling.
Yeah.
You know, whether someone makes a sarcastic comment about it or whatever, like, we know we'd have the same feeling about that. And I thought, wow, it's so hypocritical that people are doing that, or worse, they're killing the animals.
Mm.
And because I don't see it, I never raise the alarm. If someone was in my garden next door and I could see them harming animals all day long, I'd be on the phone to the police, I'd be going around there every 5 minutes, because it's under my nose.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're like that with all world issues anyway. Like, things, like, I read a fact once, or well, I heard it in a speech once, that as many people die from genocide every 2 days in the Congo as died in the Twin Towers.
And, really?
Wow. But it's never in the news. It's never in papers. Yeah. No one ever speaks about it because it's not in our neighbourhood.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same with veganism. Because there's not a slaughterhouse next door to you, you don't think about it. And I felt so hypocritical by just watching the documentary or the talk, that I came home, identified anything that wasn't vegan in my house, and I gave myself like a 2 week grace period. I never ate meat again from that moment on.
Okay.
I just couldn't stomach the thought of it.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because even in that time I still had distanced meat from dairy and stuff like that, even though there's still the murder attached. But like, in my head it was more of a direct thing. So I never ate meat from that moment on. I gave away anything that was meat, and then I just ate anything that was like dairy or anything that was left over that kind of 2 week period. I just never bought anything else, but from that moment I never bought anything else that wasn't vegan.
Yeah.
But I just kind of got rid of whatever was there.
That's nice that you gave yourself that 2 week buffer, because I think a lot of people that can enter veganism then can feel guilty, like, right, I want to be vegan. And then within a week they're eating cheese and they feel guilty and they stop. And it really is about helping people. It's okay to transition.
I was very aware of that, because like, sometimes I've gone into something, whether it's like a workout program or anything, with the mentality of, I'm going to be perfect from this moment on. I'm going to do that. And the smallest slip up, like you said, like eating cheese, and you feel guilty and you just back into your old habits and it's a slump. And I was very aware of that. So I was like, I'm going to give myself like the 2 weeks to think deeply about it and think, how do I feel, and do that kind of intuitive, like, thinking about it, and like doing like a replay in my head of how I'm listening to my body and stuff. I just kept feeling better and better with it. But it's interesting what you said about like the kind of intuitive eating earlier and the feeling guilty about things, because I often say when you have a new vegan, they always say how good they feel.
Yeah.
And it's so linked mental health and their physical health.
Yeah.
They're not only putting more nutrients in their body because they eat more vegetables and like more nutrient dense foods, they also feel more compassionate and feel like they've got less guilt attached to them.
There's a subconscious release of that guilt.
So it's all all combined.
I always explain it as like there's this like cardboard outline, although it's probably not a cardboard, it's probably like a giant orb outline of your highest, fullest self, of the fullest, truest you, right? If you were born on Earth at the peak moment of humanity, civilization, whether that was in the Cometans or whenever that was, Atlanteans, or to be in the future, there's that figure, and wherever we're in, like, I don't know, are we in the Dark Ages, are we in the Bronze Age, wherever we are on this, if there are yugas and there's a 26,000 year cycle of humanity, and just like we have seasons, we have consciousness seasons, and we're like somewhere low, maybe coming up, you know, we're not at the Golden Age, it doesn't feel like it anyway. I think we'll kind of contribute towards that.
Yeah.
But you are this person now, and there's that figure of you, your higher, it could be just your higher self. And when you become vegan, you take a big step closer to that. And you feel a little more light. Do you know what I mean? I think that's
like you're growing into the person
you're growing,
you can be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're growing into the person you can be, you're meant to be, you are inside, you know, and you're getting more connected to that. And I even felt that when I went raw, was like a step. I was saying the other day in the video that I was more...
You referred to yourself as Raw Tim.
Raw Tim, man. Yeah. He's more eloquent. You know, I could speak a lot more fluidly. And amongst other things, and that is, for me, a sign of being closer to my higher self, being, you know, more connected to something, to source, whatever that is.
Do you think that's something you'd go back to? Like, raw, do you think...
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Next year, yeah. I'm just trying to follow seasons right now. I think there is... I try and look at this long-term plan, right? Because we just had bread and rice, and I had bread earlier today. Bread is that... what do you call it? I don't want it to be like the beacon of evil, but you know, what do they call it? White death or whatever. But I've gotten over that. I'm not treating it like that right now. Right. But in an ideal world, I would eat whole food, plant-based, right? Whole food, plant-based, steamed vegetables. And then towards raw, if I was in a more tropical climate. And when I do eat a whole food, plant-based, I do feel a good level of, I feel satiated from like steamed potatoes that I don't feel from raw foods. And I don't feel, sometimes I can feel dopey after eating bread. If I eat too much bread, you can feel a bit, you know, a bit almost like stones in a way. And so I think there's that middle ground there would be to eat whole food, plant-based. And I feel the world we're building in, as we become more entrepreneurial, as we step away from previous careers and lifestyles and lifelines that we've had, and into this newer world that we're building, where the people around us are making more conscious choices, are headed towards health. We might just live in a community where, and this might be 5 years, it might be 10 years, which isn't really that long in a lifetime, I think. And especially if you're healthy, you're gonna live for longer on the end of that anyway. So I'm not in a rush to get to whole food, plant-based, raw Tim, or whatever. Because I know that in 5 years, 10 years, we'll be in a community or around people that it's just natural, intuitively, we've got to that stage of self-love where we're making those choices. And temptation is the devil, right? And the temptation will not be there because it will just, we'll have abundance of options of the healthy one. And like I say, it could be 5 years, could be 10 years. I'm going to enjoy this stuff for now. I'm going to enjoy these old habits for now and wait another year or another 6 months and then work. And then as we become closer together and everything changes and people around us grow and evolve and meet and merge, and it's like, I think we're really going to get to a stage where we are eating more optimally. Because from now to 5 years ago, before I was vegan, 6 years ago, there's massive steps. And then even to actually this year, I went raw for 4 months. Like, I would never have thought I would have even done like 3 weeks at the start of this year. Now, to have that as a chapter of my year, I'm definitely growing. Not that I feel any better now than maybe I did this time last year, but when I look at actually the things I've learned and grown, it's been a good year.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that for you that this year you tried and achieved or you've grown in that you may have stepped back from now, but then next year you're going to come twice as hard again?
For me, this year, it's been so much about trying new things.
You did raw goods for a bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I did. Probably just over the first 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. And then I had other commitments from work where I went away, and it just became very difficult for me to kind of maintain it. I think it was a very good experience for me to kind of experience it and kind of know how I feel on it. Because personally, I used to fast a lot, and it's very similar to fasting to me. I feel like my body's not spending so much time processing and burning up all my energy processing stuff and dealing with everything and breaking it down.
For sure, it's a lot.
I feel so much like I'm more cleansed and ready to go at any time. Like I've got energy on tap, which I liked. I really liked that about it. So I'm definitely keen for doing it again next year.
Cool.
But next year I'm definitely going to go back to fasting a lot.
You do some more fasting.
I think.
I feel like fasting is like some black belt stuff. Maybe not black belt, but it's like up there. Yeah. It's like, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'd never do a fast where I didn't have water as well, like certain religious fasts and things like that. I'd always have water. I think it's just
I've heard
so
dry
good
fasting,
to be cleansed.
People have done dry fast for like within like a week long fast. They'll do like a 36 hour dry fast period. And they do speak about that as being like the most empowering part. Because they're realising they're going a whole day and they've not actually done anything and they feel fine. And that actually some of our organs, in order to cleanse them properly, they need to be dehydrated. Because imagine they're like a sponge. And as long as we've got water in them, they stay inflated. And actually when you start to dehydrate, it squeezes and it releases some of this stuff that's clogged up.
Toxins
and clogged up. So never say never.
No, never say never.
But that's interesting that you want to go back to fasting.
Definitely want to go back to fasting because I feel at times... with fasting, it's kind of like when you make the decision, okay, today's going to be a day I'll just fast, it's so much easier. There's two elements to it. So one is that your body's not working so much, breaking stuff down, as I just spoke about with the raw thing. But as well, there's a mental element. You have so much more free brain power. You're not thinking, where's my next meal coming from? Do I need to snack? Am I hungry right now? Instead, you're just like, I'm not eating today, so that's it.
Yeah.
I'm getting on with all the stuff. I feel more productive because I can get on with stuff because I'm not thinking about food constantly.
Yeah.
And it's almost ironic because like I'm so into food.
Yeah.
But I think you need to have abstinence from something occasionally to appreciate it
way
as well.
More, yeah.
But it's interesting what you said about the raw thing because... hot climates is so much easier.
Maybe we'll just have to go away for this Raugus. That's cool. That was one of the highlights of the year for me, if we talk about highlights, was doing Raugus with you guys, like the people that follow and join us at Ethics. Seeing how many of you people, whether you made 1 day or 30 days or 31 days, whatever, just to have people go, yeah, this is what I want to do, because we are predominantly a vegan company for vegans, you know, by vegans. And Raugus is something for vegans. We've got Veganuary to get people onto the vegan wagon, and that's a great tool. And I think we vegans need something because veganism isn't the end goal of health. Like it's not, isn't it? It's just it's a great step on respecting the planet and the animals. And I'm not saying raw is the end goal, but you feel differently when you're eating raw on your body. And I feel like I felt a step closer in my experience of it. Other people may feel differently. But it's good to try something new, and the fact that within veganism there's so many options, that's like a whole option within veganism, and it's cool for people to experience it. And that month was amazing for us. Me and Ben worked so hard, and you know, many people came along and helped us, and we appreciate everyone along the way. Ted Carr doing stuff with him as well.
Yeah.
And we launched some new gear we're very happy with.
When you say like veganism isn't the end goal, what I like about that is I see very much veganism being like the first, whether you call it like a gateway. Or a step to kind of consciousness. So I think you've actively said, I'm conscious about my impact on the world, the environment and myself, you know, like loving yourself and doing what's right for your body. And then there's other levels to it. So whether you think more about waste and plastics and things like that, things that aren't recyclable and how you deal with that, or whether you start to look into raw things and stuff.
Yeah.
What I'm very, very conscious of in terms of the levels though, is that some people are already up here and they are living in what they feel like is a very, very conscious manner, but they completely either distance themselves or forget where their journey started, and they can put other people off veganism because of that. So I put a post up recently, I was working on a recipe that I'm going to release for Veganuary, and it was like a chocolate mousse with like Oreos embedded in it. And it's, you know, it's a tasty recipe, but instantly I got a lot of people saying palm oil. You know, palm oil was in Oreos. And I get that, you know, palm oil is not a good thing purely because of, you know, the impact on the environment of the deforestation to make palm trees.
Orangutans.
Palm trees don't have as many animals as other trees, and they also aren't as good for the environment as other trees.
And you hear some things say sustainable palm oil, right? And then some people say there's no such thing as sustainable palm oil.
But recently, I convinced my friend that I work with to do Veganuary, and he was already in the mentality where he's like, I'm going to do Veganuary, and then after Veganuary, I can't wait to like carry on with it. He was really excited. Yeah. He saw the comments on my feed and said, oh, I can't be dealing with all these palm oil warriors. He says, I'm not going to... He says, I feel already, like if I can't be perfect, it's almost not worth trying.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because I'm trying to get people onto that first step. I'm trying to make them open the door to that consciousness and then say, gradually, because people need things gradually sometimes, like you can't go 0 to 100 in like no time. You kind of gradually say, oh yeah, I noticed, you know, you were saying the other day you were eating this. What kind of peanut butter were you using? Because you know this peanut butter's got palm oil in. But there's this alternative that's pretty much exactly the same. It doesn't
They're doing it out of care, but there's ego attached to it, right?
So because they want to tell you they're on that level.
They want to be the person, they want to show you where they are and be the person to correct you. You're wrong, I'm right, even though you've got more followers, whatever, you know. And the thing is, that's what ethics is not about. Mm. We're about removing the ego, removing the I. So it's about, and we are not perfect, you may see us, you know, come back. But we still worry at the same time. But you have to, that person should DM you and speak to you, ask you, you know.
What I really respected, because some people went mad at me on my comments, and I explained, you know, this is for get people, new people into veganism, stuff like that, and what I'm about. And one person DM'd me and said, hey, I really like all your stuff, but I saw the comment about palm oil. I'm really anti-palm oil. Have you tried these cookies, and these cookies? Cool. These are other cookies that are similar to Oreos but don't have palm oil.
That's great. Yeah.
And I'm like, I messaged them back and literally said, I love you because you didn't argue with me on a comment thing, which I wasn't arguing anyway, like, it, you know, it wasn't heated, but like, there's ego attached when it's on the message board. Yeah. People can see that other people, and people like start scoring points against each other. Like I'm further up the scale than you are or whatever. But for someone to DM you and have a private chat, it's just exactly what it's like in life. If you have an argument in the middle of a bar or in a room or whatever, there's other people over listening, there's ego attached all the time. Mm. If you have a, you know, conversation together and say, I saw you do this the other day, I don't really agree with that, like you thought about this, you're so much more likely to be accepted and go, oh, I didn't realise it impacts on other people so much. I'll take that on board.
And that's ethics without the ego.
Exactly,
that's what we're about.
Exactly.
Wicked. Cool, man. It's good you got to experience that. I was telling you a story the other day that I shared with these guys, if you don't mind me saying it again, on a similar tip, was that about 3 or 4 years ago, Jamie Oliver was going to try Veganuary, and it was reported in some papers, actually. And then Vegan Gains made a video about Jamie Oliver, and in the video actually talked about killing, I don't know if you mentioned eating, but killing Jamie Oliver's children as a reference to Jamie killing, you know, baby pigs or baby sheep, baby, you know, that kind of stuff. Which, from one perspective, Vegan Gains is just saying it really bluntly without any care, but it's, you've got to humanize it in a way And doing that, and Jamie Oliver ended up, his team ended up putting out a release about saying we're not doing veganuary because we don't want to be associated with a community that has people like this, which on their part is a weak move because they've backed out or something. But at the same time, you can see then where vegans are actually having a negative influence, doing something out of care, but when the ego and there's anger involved, it can only end up pushing people away. And I think that's the real shift in veganism of the last few years is, yes, you need to be activists and let people know, but at the same time, you can make equally big steps when you step back from being attached to being the person making the change and just trying to live it a little, you know. So I just found that that's interesting. That's like a direct reaction of someone being angry and reacting and pushing their message, and then someone pulling
taking
back.
Taking someone like Jamie Oliver out of a game who could have been such a key player in promoting it to so many people. The way I like to think about it is, and I don't know, I personally, I don't think I've had this conversation with you before, I don't know how you personally feel about it, but the thing that what makes me want to be vegan is at my disgust at factory farming, right?
Yeah.
And in just the how irresponsible you are as a species and how we just pollute the world and enslave animals. But I don't look at a lion killing something on the plains of Africa and think that's terrible, because that's their food chain and that's actual nature. And just like if I got attacked by a bear, 99% sure I'm screwed, but I'm going to fight for my life. I'm not just going to let something kill me.
Yeah,
because that's nature. If something attacks you, you defend your children or whatever, and that is nature. That's how we're built. So at the same time, that is a direct thing of nature. Like Jamie Oliver wanted to do something. He was making a compassionate move, but he has been attacked and he's going to react to that. The ego is involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether you're going to make a compassionate move or not, the ego becomes involved then. Mm. And your natural reaction, like whether that's a blunt statement or not, you feel like someone's attacking your children.
Yeah. From here, what's the topic? Can you guys give us a topic? Scroll through.
We'll just wait.
Oh, yeah. Who's your vegan inspiration? This comes from Daquan Too Sexy. Daquan Too Sexy.
My vegan inspiration, to be fair, there's people for different things. Like I love looking at like people like Felix's stuff, like the spiritual side of it.
Yeah.
Cool. Which is always which is really inspirational.
And the other day he posted about eggs and male chicks, and I think he's got quite a following of people, of Londoners that are into calisthenics, that aren't quite getting veganism, and I think it's really powerful that he doesn't post loads of vegan stuff, but when he does, it's something like, because there's probably some vegetarians that think that vegetarianism is better, but they probably think they've I'm vegetarian but eggs, they probably don't think they're suffering with eggs.
Yeah.
And for him to post something about eggs, I think he's using it wisely and at the right time and about the right subject. So go on.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's exactly it. And like using it, if you're someone who doesn't go on about it all the time, and then when you do post, people are more likely to kind of pay attention to that post as well. Like he's earned their trust as well, like with stuff, which is good.
I put James Aspie up there for me.
I like what he's doing, definitely. Yeah. Like he's getting out there.
Yeah, I remember.
So active.
He was one of the first sort of guys that I looked to that was similar to me, that was speaking about it the same way I felt. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a good moment for me because it made me realise this guy inspires you because he's kind of like you and doing something powerful. When it was after he did the no speaking.
Yeah.
Now that's incredible that he did years no speaking, and then for him to come on TV and say purely how I felt, and just to see the people around him not comprehend it at all because of their own attachments to that food or that food that they consider food. I was like, damn, he's speaking his truth, and that is powerful to me, it resonates with him. That's why I always need to speak what I feel inside me, because there's always going to be other people on the other side of the screen like me that go, thank you, someone from my demographic kind of thing is speaking for me. And that inspired me in that moment, and so I'm always grateful to him for that.
He's very passionate and he's charismatic, and I think if you've got someone who's compassionate, passionate and charismatic, It's only good. Mm-hmm. only promotes people speaking out about the way they feel and being kind of proud of it, which is really nice. It's interesting what you say about kind of having people on the other side of the screen kind of saying, you know, I'm glad someone feels the same way as I feel, because we kind of spoke a little bit before about obviously having like the circle that we have now of people, which is really nice, but how we kind of feel for some people who go vegan and then they don't really have any other vegan friends to bounce ideas off or to go and eat with or whatever.
Those people inspire you.
They're so like it takes
committed to being lonely
exactly and they're just still doing
it's more important to them
if that's you, it's so important
so
bless.
Much respect bless up.
It's so good like that you're just sticking with it and you're taking the harder road that's compassionate. You're not giving in to people who are like do the, you know, whether it's the guilty thing or the naughty thing, going back to that, like it's so easy to just be tempted, you know, give in to temptation or go back down a non-compassionate way of living because of what your surroundings are. And it's just so strong for people not to do that. But as well, with social media, it's such a brilliant way to outreach to people and bring them back into the circle. I think the meetups are so good for that.
Fruit ups, meetups. What's a better word than meet? No.
It
doesn't matter.
Gang up. Family dinner or whatever. Whatever you want to call it. But
they are to get people together, and even at the ethics meetups, there's people that are like in relationships now that met at those meetups. Because that's the thing within veganism now, you get into subcultures. And I think we are one subculture within that, and then there's people that are coming to that that may not be able to go to a veg fest and feel like they totally fit in. Like, I went on a vegan cruise recently, and there's 1,000 people eating 100% vegan on a boat, and it was awesome and it's cool to see. But also, I felt like now I'm part of a vegan subculture that wasn't present on that boat. There wasn't that many people I could gel with. There's a couple of runners and people like that, and I hung out with them. But compared to what the little things that are popping up now, it's really interesting. Is there any... We've done highlights of 2017.
That's cool.
Had a point. It's gone. Is there any athletes that you saw or people? Well, we saw Robbie Williams just came vegan.
Yeah, Robbie Williams has gone vegan.
That's interesting. Lewis Hamilton was massive.
I've got to say it. We always talk about a funny anecdote with Robbie Williams. Like, local to where we grew up, people go on about a story all the time about, like, Robbie Williams went to Anoki. It's this little restaurant off the A38. And they always say, like, he paid for everyone's meal. And the first thing I laughed about, like, when I heard it, because you hear that from everyone who's from where we're from, the first thing I laughed about is that now he's vegan. I hope we hear like he's paid for his vegan meal somewhere.
Yeah,
it'd just be so funny like to hear that. But
what a G. Yeah. He paid for everyone's meal if no one asked him for pictures or bothered him in the whole restaurant. Yeah, big up the A38. Yeah, he's got a couple mentions in this episode. I live 2 minutes from. Robbie Williams. I'd say Lewis Hamilton, because I just remember that Instagram story where he put the text saying he'd never felt. It was like 3 weeks in, never felt better. He's not looking back. And I just seen him the other day with Conor McGregor, and I'm just like, that's a good, slowly we'll get that. Mr. McGregor will come around to the real fight that's going on the planet.
Have you heard much from Neo recently?
No,
because Neo went vegan.
Does his hairline
grow
back?
But I've not heard much like about him since. So hopefully he's still sticking with that.
I think the basketballers is the biggest revelation from the whole of the footballers, NFL players, and then the basketballers, and they're both have got massive like. Big players, stars, Kyrie Irving from basketball. I can't name someone from NFL, but obviously those like the 300-pound vegan was like the original vegan NFL player, and technically didn't do massive impact within the sport directly, but actually he inspired other people to go vegan and like sort of a pass it on effect. More and more people have become vegan from that, and they're feeling amazing from it. And then the basketballers that are doing it and feeling amazing. It's only a matter of time before within our football, I think you start to see that. Maybe in 2018 that will be what pops off. And I think we need a couple more documentaries in Britain. Carnage is one of my highlights of 2017. Did you see that?
I'm still not watching it, man. No.
I say, comedy, bro. You like comedy. I think that's one of my highlights of 2017. Because it was a new angle. It was a new type of activism. And that's what I want to see more of in 2018, is not just, here's the facts, go vegan. Like, I want to see people using art to be creative, to spread veganism. The other day, I was a little chill, and I got back to mine, and I was had some energy, and it was after we played Monday Night Basketball, actually, and I had some energy, and I wrote a stand-up comedy routine in about 30. We mentioned it, right?
I mentioned it to you. Yeah, I spoke to Tom about it the other day.
The gold is on here, okay. So at least I'm going to do it at a Woodstock Fruit Festival.
Okay.
And if not before, another festival.
Do you want to go to an open mic before then?
We could go to an open mic, and I'd definitely practice it.
Because I still want to do one as well. Cool. Like, I've got.
I know you've got some stuff
written down.
Because I said to you, someone needs to do it on like spirituality or that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I've got a couple stories. The one, even just, you know, the one story that happened in Bristol with that girl, Northeast, you know, Naughty Elephant School, never eat shred a week. That kind of, I'll save it.
Yeah.
But that kind of, those kind of stories mixed with some other stories of like, you know, I sleep on the floor, I do other things. There's always a little joke to be made in each of them. And it's just finding what's relevant in your life and then making it funny. And then you're right, if you do an open mic and you can approach veganism but from a funny angle to these people, you can drop. And actually the last joke in my thing, I don't touch veganism in my whole piece until the very end, and when it's going to sound like it's a joke, it's not a joke. And I think that's you know, but there's, I think that's what I want to see more of in 2018 is people using that art to promote veganism.
Yeah, and a very interesting thing I found very inspirational when I heard Russell Brand talk about his comedy and he's a vegetarian himself, but he talks about how comedians use their comedy to detonate areas of consciousness. So the reason people feel so offended by comedy often is because they so feel like the barrier has been removed, because you can take something so serious and rip it from them and say, no, I'm going to make it a joke.
Yeah.
And you're holding on to something like, no, I am offended by this. And then you realise that your offence is a choice. You're choosing to be offended by 100%, something.
Yeah.
And when someone detonates that area of consciousness or removes the kind of armour from around you on whatever it is, you can feel very vulnerable. But that's part of the comedy. That's how it works. Yeah. So you can sometimes draw people in softly and tell little jokes and things like that, and then smack them in the mouth with something that's really hard hitting, similar to kind of what you've alluded to a little bit there. And you can go away from comedy with something, that a seed that's planted.
And he said, if you want to tell them, Russell Brand said, if you want to tell them the truth, make them laugh.
Yeah.
And I think that'll, as we get into this, there's been 30, 40 years of activism that's done one way, and I'm excited to see the new seeds of creative. And that's the thing, is people, artists weren't focused on consciousness or their diet so much, and I think artists now, that's why I always admire the people like Moby, who were on it from the beginning. They didn't have to see it. He didn't have to speak out about it. People would have been fine with him not doing it, and yet he still found it important. So I always have respect for the pioneers that are artists that did it from the beginning. You know, and that's one of the reasons, as soon as I saw it, I spoke about it, because I thought, regardless, and I got, you know, backlash from the parkour community for that, and I got some people that will probably be forever grateful because I've helped a subculture within parkour of you know, respecting the environment, athletes.
Bro, the amount of people, obviously I'm at festivals all the time with him and stuff, and the amount of people that come up and just kind of say, I followed you from parkour days, you're the reason I went vegan.
True, yeah.
And it's like, you got some backlash, but you took that, you just absorbed that for all the other people who were waiting for that to come along and saw it and took it on board and went on their own journey.
You've got to step out on the edge. And you know what happens is the universe rewards you when you make those commitments to yourself, because you see something that other people don't. And you feel, I take it as the universe wants me to speak on it, because I'm aware of something. Somebody just hasn't thought of something in a certain way that I now am aware of, you know. Cool. And on that note, I think we'll do another one of these at the start of the year, and we can talk about things we want to change, things we want to do, and we can
look
ahead, and we can get some ideas.
I like that.
And you guys hopefully can join us there. If you enjoyed the episode, here's in the comments with some subjects. Maybe we'll choose a couple topics for the next video. It can be veganism or spirituality, absolutely anything you guys want to talk about. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Subscribe to the Ethics YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Check us out on Instagram at Ethics if you want to get some ethical clothing. You know, we're changing the game in many ways. We're changing the clothing game. Ethics.com, ethics without the I. You already know.
Thank you, Brett. Take the ego out of it.
Yeah, man.
Veganize your wardrobe. Be nice to each other, friends.
Yes. Tread light. All those good catchphrases. Thank you, Mr. Epi Vegan. Thanks for the beautiful curry we ate just before this. And I look forward to doing this again in whichever setting we're in.
Peace.
Peace.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.